Online ist.
Online is always better, right? Online scales well, you can reach everyone. Sometimes it's cheaper as well. So let's just digitalize everything. Government services, anything. Makes everything simpler, right? The problem with statements like that is it does apply to many things and to many people, but not to everyone. And 5% of the people between 16 and 74 years old are offline. Think about people without a permanent residence. How are they supposed to find all these structures online if they don't even own a device, perhaps, and can't regularly charge any device? Not even to speak of Wi-Fi. And this is what this next talk is going to be about. It's called Digitalization, No Matter What, and I'm very happy to welcome the expert Anna Roth on stage. Many of you will know her because she has been around for 25 years and working in digital politics, and she has been working in the committee that investigated the right extremist NSU murders for the German parliament, and she worked for the left party parliamentary party in the Bundestag as well. Give a warm applause to Anna Roth.
Dankeschön.
Thank you. A question to start for everyone that came here by train or sometimes travel by train. Have you experienced this? You are traveling, your journey is extended somehow, and you have a smartphone or other mobile device, and the battery went down. Who's had this kind of fear? It's quite widespread. And who has experienced being a user of the Bahn app, the German Railways app, DB Navigator, and the conductor comes and says, I would now like to see your discount card, your Bahn card. Could you just open your app for that, please? And the app says, please refresh. And then you are in a hole, a radio hole. There's no connection. Who have you experienced this? Many of the people here have. And who of you prefers, therefore, to carry a printed version of the ticket with you? Great, CCC Congress. Completely digitalized, yeah, of course. And with that, we are going to start. I have posed this question in March when I wanted to know whether there are more people who feel unsafe having to rely on their smartphones. So I asked around who has had this experience, and about 80 reactions. Among them, a quarter has been in that situation where the smartphone had completely discharged. 15 others wrote that they'd had problems with the Navigator app that we just talked about, which doesn't show the valid ticket or sometimes logs you out of the system and wants to see the password that maybe at the time you haven't got in your head. This has happened quite often too. And as we've said, there are interruptions in connectivity as well. And on regional trains, there are not always plugs or sockets, so you cannot always recharge. The same applies to public transport tickets, local transport, and students' tickets, so-called semester tickets. And mostly these cases are dealt with. It seems people return. The conductors return later, or someone is helping someone out with a charger, a power pack. But then you have this capture in the Bahn app. This is a current example from this week. Can someone explain to me how this capture is going to be solved? I actually got it wrong. Click on the picture that is best connected to the object in the example picture, says the task in the capture. Now, back to the valid ticket. If railways take twice the time, or the socket is broken, or the net is disappearing, this is all your problem, says German Railways. If you cannot show your ticket, you have to pay extra. No power, your fault. Discount tickets currently cannot even board at the ticket machines anymore. just digitally. And that doesn't apply to German Railway, Deutsche Bahn tickets, but also to students' season tickets called semester tickets. Some universities just if some students at some universities want a physical card, they have to jump through various hoops and go through a long process to receive it from the university. Thilo Weichert and Karin Schuler have just published an expertise for digital courage, in which they demand a right to digital participation. This is an expertise that is relevant. And in the small print about the discount card, the Bahn card, it does mention that there is a way of obtaining a replacement document, but you still need a login for that. What is quite harsh is that there is this coercion on the one hand to have these tickets on this software on your device, and that on the other hand you have to pay double the price if your device isn't working. You can get a refund for that, but there is a fee, and the time that you invest is not replaced for you, not reimbursed for you by anyone. Fortunately, there's been protests against this, at least against the purely digital Bahn card, the discount card. Various passenger associations raised their voices and protested, and Ulrich Schneider, who was the CEO of the welfare association in Germany, said that they call on German Waves to make the Bahn card available to everyone, regardless of whether they use the internet or not. And the signing organizations are not against digitalization as a whole. It's about the inequity of the way that on and offliners are treated. It cannot be the case that millions of people that, for whatever reason, cannot or do not want to use the internet are disadvantaged by German Railways. German Railways is an important service that has to be available to everyone, including elderly people or older people. Yeah, I agree with that too. Applause from the audience. Now, there were more protests by consumer associations and related groups, and a representative survey had the result that 84% of those that answered thought that it was the responsibility of public transport providers to ensure that people could still buy tickets that are not linked to a smartphone or an internet connection. And second, 59% responded it was the politicians or politics responsibility. And regarding the single journey discount tickets, something was changed since this month. It is again possible to buy a ticket without submitting an email address or phone number, which they had demanded before. For everyone that wanted to buy their discount tickets at the counter, they had to supply this information, this extra data. And why am I talking about the Bahncard example at such length? Because this is a prime example of how Germany is being digitalized. The principle is carrot and stick. If you're not taking part voluntarily, you have to use it. At some point, surely they will have to understand that this is the better way.
Especially this is not about the needs of those using the railways. The goal is different. It's higher efficiency with the railway. Don't get me wrong, it's completely justified to make Deutsche Bahn more efficient, but this must not be for the price of making it impossible for part of the population to use it. But the railways are just one example. There is more and more of them. For example, five public Berlin swimming pools have been selling only online tickets last year. There has been an initiative, swimming pool for everyone, in saying, hey, kids, youth, or elderly people are not able to go to the swimming pool due to this, and made a petition for or to them, explaining that the Berlin swimming pools have to be available for everyone, but it didn't help. Still only online tickets. 2 years ago, Spanish pensioner fought against his local bank closing. He made an online petition, had 660,000 supporters.
Demanded that for people who can't access online banking, that there should still be in-person banks available. And he was awarded the European Citizen Prize by the European Parliament. Also, the German Post is disappearing in like public, like physical spaces, and not all of them are replaced by DHL package shops. And that also makes it harder for things to get delivered. The law says that the post is required to supply post system and makes that accessible to everyone. And this brings us to the bigger topic, the forced use, the coercion of using digital offers, or whether we need a right to be analog and not use them. And this feels somewhat unfashioned, old-fashioned. Are there still people who don't have the don't use the internet? Yes, they are. If we look at the states, about 5% of the people between 16 and 74 years in Germany in 2023 were offline and had never used the internet. That is 3.1 million people in Germany. 1 year before, that was 6%, so the number is decreasing, but it's decreasing. But of course, 3 million people is still a lot of people, and that doesn't even include older people. If we compare that to other EU countries for the year 2023, then with this Eurostat statistics, Germany is in the middle field of these countries. The darker the orange on this card, the more people are using the internet. There are lots of reasons why humans aren't online. Like, some people can't afford the physical devices, others have trouble using it. Some people prefer classical media and just don't miss access and don't want to go online. And some people would like to go online but don't feel equipped to do that. Also, some people are afraid about their data and aren't sure if their data is safe. The German Statistical Office says that the fraction of people who use the internet or not changes with age. So the older someone is, the less online people are. In 2023, only 27% of people over the year of 80 were using the internet. 29% of women over that year, and about half of men are using the internet. Also, education and income are relevant factors for whether people use it. People of higher education, 59% are online, and people of like less education backgrounds are only 16% are online at this age group. 67% of people who have a lot of money are online, but only 22% of people who have very little money. I think it's interesting, like, old people are, like, the majority of older people are not skeptical about using online, like the internet, despite popular opinion, but lots of people would actually like to use it. Of all the people who have internet access in that age group, 57% are online every day. There's other demographic factors. The D21 Digital Index for 21-23 looked at who are the people who are offline. 76% have a low educational background, 70% are women, 50% of the people are older than 70 years old.
Was auch noch eine Rolle spielt,
and
wir bei den Alten auch schon gesehen, das Einkommen.
Also, income is an important factor. This statistics says that 60% of the people who don't have access to being online are low income.
Paritätische Gesamtverband,
a social organization in Germany, decided that one-fifth of people who are poor in Germany don't have access to the internet, like on their own. In the same study, it was talked about whether people have the access to use the internet and practically do it every day. And people who like digital work tools are not used very much and irrelevant in like low income employment sectors. So about half of them don't have to work with the internet. And of course, there's access on the internet, and there's lots of talks concerning this topic that are going to happen in this Congress. And one number for that is in 2024, only one-fifth of online shops in Germany were accessible. So this is a good reminder that private institution, private companies soon will have to be accessible online based on this new law.
So, putting all of this together, we see that people who have disadvantage in society overall are also more often don't have access to digital media. What also plays a role, and probably no surprise for anyone here, is also having fear about data security, which is often very justified. What is the political dealing with this? Okay, that's also a cool sign now. We had problems with the adapter before, now we have them again, it seems.
Tut mir leid.
I'm sorry. Does someone want to help?
Ich sehe hier leider nichts.
I'm afraid I don't see anything, I'm sorry.
Ich kann hier auch nichts machen außer an.
Can't do anything here except for plugging in and plugging out.
Ja, also jetzt gerade ist auch nichts, weil ich das hier gerade rausgezogen habe. Muss ich mich mal einmal wieder vorwärts klicken.
I have to click forward until where I've been.
Ich hoffe, ich kriege die 3 Minuten hinterher zusätzlich.
I hope I get the 3 minutes added in the end. Of course, thanks.
Also.
So.
Wie wird politisch damit umgegangen, abgesehen?
What is the political approach to this? That still not everyone can take part in digitalization. The federal government did the following. They launched a few digital-only testing projects. For example, students got €200 for free, but only those who had a Bund ID account. 18-year-olds also got €200 gifted, but also digital-only. This year, 18-year-olds just get €100. Also, this had to be applied for online. And that means young people who generally accept, that those who need it the most may not get it at all because they don't have digital access. And why is that the case? Well, I can't save this from you. Germany goes digital, and if it's going up to me, digital only. The FDP, who had their election campaigning under the motto digital first, concerned seconds, has the goal to remove non-digital offers. And at the digital conference this October, the minister said we should not have or fund analog projects parallelly due to efficiency and proportional need to generate data.
Also, the conversion of the 9 euro ticket that allowed public transport all over Germany to the now called Germany ticket was supposed to be completely digital. And what that exactly means is unclear, because there is a plastic card version of the ticket. But the idea is that data are supposed to be registered. For example, if you answer an answer to a question to a Ask Your MP website, the response was a digital ticket is important because that is the only way to contribute to an anonymized capturing of usage data, which makes it easier to improve the service. And of course, with a digital ticket, there is no actual recording of which journeys are made. So I have no idea what he was thinking about. But maybe there will be a time when we have got used to the ticket that every journey then is going to be registered, although the ticket is a blanket ticket covering all of Germany's regional transports. And also the Health Minister Lauterbach is introducing digital-only services. The electronic patients file has been talked about in a talk yesterday. And it was quite clearly the intention that administrative costs were to be reduced, but also data that weren't known so far were supposed to be registered. And that is where the catch lies, because it's not about the people that use the app, but it's about the interests of the people that run services, the companies and agencies. These are the digital ministers of the 16 German states at the first conference of digital ministers in 2024, in this picture here. And they resolved that, quote, the ministers agree that in business administration, the principle digital only, so services that are only accessible digitally, should happen soon. And the central point here is the extension of this principle to other areas of life with regard to the specific interests of various people is to follow. So regarding business administration or business business ministries, this is not just large companies, but also small enterprises and freelancers. So these people are supposed to deal with these changes without any help, and we're not even talking about technical issues or privacy issues. So this will be met with disbelief, but some people do not need IT for their job. A freelancer physiotherapist sued the state of Brandenburg for having to submit his tax declarations online. And the court ruled that a connection to the internet should be financed by the Brandenburg state. The European Parliament has talked about the digital divide and pointed to social differences that are created by digitalization. It made clear that many digital services or daily services have to have a non-digital option to cater for the people that cannot have the skills or knowledge to use the digital services, and that do not have the use of the necessary devices. And the UN Office of the Secretary General's Envoy on Technology published a paper on ensuring digital inclusion of all. Making services accessible to everyone on an equal footing, an equal and safe access to everyone everywhere. And this is supposed to be the yardstick in Germany too. In contrast, people that cannot deal with the always changing requirements do not get the support they need. In registration authorities, banks, whatever, and small projects like this The digital zebras in public libraries in Berlin help people to cope. Another project is the Telephone Box 4.0 by a welfare association. This should not be dealt with by a welfare association. People should not be left with the problem of having to cope with these changes. It should be ensured that everyone has access as these services are designed. Why is it a problem if this does not happen? If offers and services in daily life are only accessible digitally, this does exclude people, and these are people that are not as privileged in the first place. For now, there's always a non-digital option, but bank branches are disappearing. Tickets are only supposed to be available online, and many services use chatbots rather than phone hotlines. And who always knows where the problem is if they are clicking themselves through a website and encountering problems? Is it my problem? Is something wrong with the form? And some people then just give up rather than do something wrong. And to be very clear, I have nothing against digitalization. On the contrary, I think it's a great thing. I wouldn't be here otherwise. But my impression of a well-done digitalization includes supporting people to use these services. And sadly, we are in a society that wants to achieve change with a very old educational concept. If you are not going to listen, you're going to have to feel it. And if you cannot take part, it's your own problem. This photo here was taken at an event in Berlin Moabit. The weather was very nice. I was invited to talk about this issue, and I assumed that maybe 5 or 10 people would come on an evening like this, a Friday evening, warm weather, and there were so many that they didn't fit into the room. And that shows the explosive force of this issue if digitalization is done in a no matter what way. Many of the people here were quite enraged. I was quite surprised about the atmosphere that I encountered. They weren't angry about me, but about the fact that they were excluded from various services that are part of their daily life. And in the questions and answers, there was a certain unpleasant undercurrent. They are taking our banks away. They're taking our post offices away. The last post office branch in the district of Moabit, the Berlin area of Moabit, had just been closed down. They're taking things away. The people up there, so that clearly is a signal for a problematic development. We know this from other protests. People on the right are saying, using the same rhetoric. And this is then turning into a problem for democracy. We need a change of heart, a change of thinking. We are currently regarding digitalization from the perspective of the of service providers, the agencies, not the perspective of the users, and that is reflected in the language too. People are then labeled as consumers, which kind of cloaks the fact that that is everyone, including us. No one is not a consumer. We all are using services. And to make sure that the digital divide or the divide in society isn't made larger, we have to ensure that everyone can take part. So we have to replace the carrot and the stick approach to an approach where everyone gets support. And as long as not everyone can take part in digital ways, there has to be an analog alternative. Thank you.
Ja, vielen Dank, Anne, für diesen wunderbaren.
Thank you, Anne, for this wonderful talk. We do have quite a large amount of time for questions and answers. So if you do have a question in the room, you can go up to the microphones. There are some at the upper levels too, and we have the first question from the internet. The internet would like to know if regarding offline participation or the rights to analog participation, there has been a debate in the German Parliament.
As far as I know, and I've been there, I haven't been there for a year, but it's not been a big topic of discussion in Parliament. I hope you don't misunderstand, but I was involved in a like law proposal for Die Linke, trying to establish the right to analog access to digital services, but that has been voted down by all other factions and has not been discussed further.
Thank you. The next question from the room. You talked regarding the post office about companies that have a specific responsibility for society, and I think that German Railways is one of those too. So can it actually be said that, can it be accepted that these people are limited stock companies?
Oof, that is not my area of expertise. I have to openly say that, and I would actually kind of pass that back to the audience in theory. Maybe someone else knows that better. But as a personal opinion, I don't think that should be okay, because it's a fundamental service to society, and privatizing that, you know, but privatization is a big topic, but it always involves that the interests of those companies aren't primarily in the public interest, and that of course is a fundamental problem in itself.
Yes, exactly. That is the problem I'm seeing. We cannot open this to society if this remains a public company. Next, we have microphone number 2. After the left party's initiative for a law in parliament, I was going to talk about this, but regarding the question about the German parliament, I would like to add, I submitted a lot of queries about this Germany public transport ticket, about rights that come from various legal foundations. Shouldn't there be an obligation for an analog offering? And I asked which services are only offered digitally, and the reply was, we don't know this, we're not registering this. And regarding this Germany ticket, we do have guidelines for accessibility that we followed, so they quite misunderstood this quite deliberately, I guess. So things are happening, but it's a very one-sided thing and not supported by the other parties. I have nothing to add.
Und damit wären wir bei der nächsten Frage dort oben. Hallo.
And the next question. Hi. I'm a bit afraid of my own question. Are there positive examples that you could use digitalization projects in recent times?
I don't even know where this person is talking from, but positive examples for what?
Services in public administration, in government services.
Oh God. And then everyone laughs. Well, it's a wide field, and the general laughter kind of answered this question, and I'm sure there are some, and I will get in trouble for not naming the correct ones or forgetting someone. I personally am somewhat of a friend of the electronic ID document in Germany, because it's somewhat reduced in what data it's collect, but also there's lots of people in this room who probably know this better than I do. I also think the COVID Corona Warn app that was implemented in Germany was good, and it was good that there was an app, and it was good that people got used. Yeah, that people got accustomed to reading QR codes. And I thought that was problematic, because people probably didn't quite understand why that was necessary. But on the other hand, the COVID app was one of the least problematic option that probably was implemented there.
Thank you. And with that, I'm going to look towards the Signal Angels again. Is there a question from the internet? No. So back to the room.
Nummer 4 steht schon seit Anfang da.
Ah, okay. Dann Guten Tag.
Hello. Thank you for the talk, but the conclusion leaves me a bit puzzled. I always thought, okay, yes, clearly this is just tasks, responsibilities being shifted onto customers. You have to do various things yourself, such as the self-service checkouts in supermarkets. So it's about raising profits and saving staff costs. The same goes with the plastic cards that are no longer being printed and sent out. And then at the very end, you're saying, okay, it's about the people up there wanting to increase their profits. That now supports the right-wing people, you say, the right-wing rhetoric. And now I'm confused what I'm going to tell them. Should I not talk about this in this way?
Not quite sure if I fully understand the question.
I would like to draw some left political activism from this.
So I think what's important in the debate of people who are like moving towards that opinion, it's important to talk about that it's important to preserve the analog access to these kind of services and to the services themselves, and that, you know, something like a post office should remain in place. And I'm afraid that we might have lost that fight already, but also like that seems to be like a reasonable claim to make, and also that there should be supports for the people who are frustrated with the experience, and the change in society can't just be making everything more efficient and cheaper so that institutions get digitalized and save personnel costs, but this change has to be changed in a way that it works for the people who have to use the services, and that might even require more employees and money for a while. And that might mean that there has to be support in offices, like people sitting at like job centers or government offices, who are able to support and help people like fill out their digital forms, so that it's clear that there are support structures and office that people can get help with. And of course, like the leftist demand has to be that there needs to be these support structures and there needs to be analog access, and we need to preserve that.
Thank you very much for your question.
And
we get to microphone number 3 now. Yes. I would like to give you a positive example. So I'm going to talk about digital coercion myself later, some advertising. And I'm going to bring some positive examples. I've looked for them, and one of them is the German state of Schleswig-Holstein, the northernmost German state. They changed their services, and they are a wonderful example because if there are interfaces, if there are questions about cloud and cross-state services, you can now point to the requirements in Schleswig-Holstein, which are that open source software is going to be used and others are going to be excluded. Well, but is this open source software in Schleswig-Holstein better for the people that use it? Yes, that is a point that will occur in my talk, so come to that talk. But too long didn't read, there are many cool things. Come to my talk or watch the stream and you will see. And there are people here that have many questions, so please use the microphones for questions. I know that many people would like to kind of broadcast their own message, but please use these for questions so that it works. Thank you. And with that, dear Anna, sadly, we're at the end of this very, very interesting talk, and I think it's very, very important that you pointed to the fact that there are groups that I think all of us sometimes forget if we're honest with ourselves. So for that, please, a very strong applause for Anne Roth, please. Thank you.